Son and Holy Spirit, and God, amen. We have reached the end of our beautiful little retreat right here. Last session together. And just to kind of recap where it is that we've gone, okay, and where it is that we want to go in this last session. We agreed at the beginning, the topic of the retreat is the mind of Christ. We said it would be beyond cool if we could have the mind of Christ. And we could know what His mind is thinking. And we could have that mind inside of all of us. And it would be the best kind of superpower in the world, not just to be able to read someone's mind, but read God's mind. Then we agreed that the cool thing is that we don't have to search very far for it because it's already inside of us. And as is in the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. Next thing, we look at that mind of Christ and what is on the mind of Christ. Oh, I'm sorry. Before that, we said that in order to be tapped into that mind of Christ fully, we need to make sure that we have acceptance with gladness or trust, okay, and no bitterness. Because when there's bitterness, bitterness is like dirt that like clogs up the mind of Christ. It like puts stuff on it, and that's why some people say, I don't hear God's voice, and I don't know Holy Spirit, and all that kind of stuff, because we put all this junk on top of it so that we can't hear His voice. So we got to have no bitterness. And then we said that if we remove all that bitterness, what are we probably going to find on the mind of Christ? Well, it's glory, it's name above all names, the highest of the high things, and the path to get that is the cross, okay? And specifically, we looked at our cross, and one form of the cross is trials. And we talked about how the cross, even though it stinks, is actually a good thing. It's actually a great thing. It's actually the best thing. And if you never had cross, you never have glory. So I hope by now you accept that, okay? That God, on His mind, is to give us glory, and on His mind, the way to give us glory is through the cross. And we agreed that His mind is higher than our mind. So naturally, what you should be thinking right now is, okay, what's my cross? What should be on your mind, hopefully, again, even if it's not really on your mind, just humor me for the sake of this session right here. You want to get to that highest of the highs. You want to live that supernatural life, and you want to get to that point of that big glory that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have come upon the heart of man, but God has prepared for those who love Him. So you should be saying, what do I want to carry for Christ? What cross do I want to carry? And maybe some of you are thinking, I want to like leave everything, and I want to do this, and I want to do big things for God. And our natural tendency is to think that way. That yes, I want that supernatural life, so therefore I'm going to prepare myself between now and age 35 that I can one day carry a big cross for Christ or something like that. The verse that I showed you yesterday showed you when Christ thinks about cross, what kind of cross He thinks about. It says, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Here's the thing about a cross. You don't get to choose your cross. Your cross gets assigned to you. You wake up in the morning, and you stand in the line, and you say, yes, sir, and whatever cross you get handed is the one that you carry for that day. The key word in this verse is understanding that the cross is not, listen to me here, big things. The cross is daily things. If I were to ask you, when did Christ carry His cross? Easy answer is Good Friday. It's the wrong answer. When did Christ carry His cross? When did Christ suck it up and carry His cross? From the second He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin. Yes, Good Friday is like the big cross, the public cross, but I got news for you. There wouldn't have been any use for Good Friday if He didn't carry His cross every single day of His life to lead a sinless life. Do you know how hard it is to live a sinless life? Which is harder, to die on the cross one day or to lead 30 years a sinless life? Every time there was a woman tempting Him, He said no. Every time there was an evil thought tempting Him, He said no. Every time there was a word of gossip here, He said no. For 30 years, He carried His cross. For 33 years, I should say. Even that, forget about that. You know what I often think is the hardest cross that Christ carried? I think sometimes, just walking down the street would have been a big cross for Him. Imagine you're Christ. You're the owner of the universe, okay? And you get to the grocery store, and you stand in line and wait behind the slow guy in front of you. Like, if that's me, that's easy. And everyone moves out of the way. Okay? That's an easy one. But Christ sat there. And then Christ went to pay, and the lady gave him a hard time. Hey, buddy, you didn't give me enough change or something like that. And he could have said, what? Don't you know who I am? He never once said, do you know who I am? Every single day that he was not in heaven, being praised and glorified, was a cross that he carried. And he picked it up daily. And it eventually led to Good Friday. But Good Friday, the big cross, was based on the little cross that he carried every single day, the daily cross. Being born in a manger was a little cross, okay? Being willing that to work as a carpenter and spend my time and splinters and stuff like that, there's every single day he carried his cross. Luke chapter 9, verse 58, tells you what kind of life Christ led and how he carried his cross every day. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You come on a retreat. You come for 2 days. You bring suitcase like this. You bring sleeping bag like this. You bring pillows and things and all this kinds of stuff. And you say, it's cold, cold. It's hot. This is the Son of God who controls the cold and the hot. Okay? Who controls what the temperature is in the entire universe. He didn't have a pillow or a place to put his head. Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Christ's life. That's what I want you to see, is that Christ's life was made up of crosses, 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 crosses that led to the big cross, which led to the big glory. But it started with the little ones. We say that he was despised, rejected, you know, and overloved. What do we say after that? With grief acquainted. You know what grief acquainted means? It means grief and him were good buddies. Okay? Him and grief knew each other very, very well. And he could know grief very, very well because his whole life was carrying the cross for us. St. Paul says something very similar. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. He says, I die daily. Let's do this together. Let's forget the idea. Today I want to be practical. Okay? Maybe I wasn't practical before. Today I want to be practical. Something you go home away with. Go away home with. Something. Go home with. Okay? What's my cross? What am I supposed to carry? Forget the idea of the big cross. Forget the idea of, am I supposed to be a monk? Or I'm going to pray and maybe I'm going to be a priest. Forget that kind of stuff. I don't care about any of those things. I want you to leave here with one thing in mind, that I die daily, like St. Paul said. In other words, I want you to commit to carrying my cross daily. Don't tell me I'm going to carry my cross, I'm going to go to Africa in 3 years and spend the summer there. Don't tell me that. Because 3 years may never come. I don't care about 3 years. I care about being a follower of Christ today and carrying my cross today. What says I love you more? Big things or little things? We often think that, you know what? Yeah, I love this person so much. I would, in the middle of the night, and it's raining, and I'd come and change her tire in the car or pick her up when she ran out of gas or something like that. Oh, that shows my love. Look here. There's not a person in this world that we wouldn't do that for. My worst enemy, if he called me up in the middle of the night and says, I'm in the middle of the road, and he's going to come pick me up, you would do it and I would do it. That doesn't show love. That just shows that you have blood inside you. Okay? That doesn't show love. What shows love is when you're tired and your back hurts and then someone comes and says, hey, would you mind getting up and helping me to clean the dishes? Yeah, who cares about the dishes? No, real love is in little things. Real love is in getting up when you want to sit down. Real love is when you are tired. It is 3 a.m. and you have been talking all day. No, I'm joking. Just joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. Sorry. 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 I'm just joking. Just joking. Real love is when you're tired and you had a headache and you had a this. That's not me. I don't get headaches. Okay? And all that kind of stuff. And then your friend calls you. And she doesn't say that she needs anything, but you know she just wants someone to just talk to. That says love a lot more than the changing tire in the middle of the night. Believe me, it's the little things that show love. Turning off Monday Night Football. Yeah, that shows love. And that's the kind of love that we want to show God. I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be that guy who comes and says, yeah, I will cross the deepest ocean for you. And I will climb the highest mountain for you. And I will this and that. And then the wife responds, okay, I don't want any of those things. Will you wash the dishes for me? No, no, no. Let me talk about the highest mountain and stuff like that. That's what some of us do for God. God, when you call me and when you free me from my work, kid, I will give. If I win the lottery, I give you all my money. Oh, beautiful words. Hey, you have a dollar in your pocket. You going to give 10 cents? Hey, you have a week off. You going to give a couple days of those to God? Don't talk to me about the big things, because big things don't tell you I love you. My daily cross equals my daily choices. The choices I make throughout my day are the crosses that I can choose to pick up or put down. Every single day, we make hundreds and hundreds of choices. Fries or onion rings? Paper or plastic? Okay? You choose where you want to, if you want to put this clothes on or that clothes on. You choose which restaurant you want to eat at. Every single day, you make decisions. And each one of these decisions is a chance for you to carry your cross. Siyami or Futari? Get up or go back to sleep? TV or pray? These are all little decisions that you make throughout the day. And I'm telling you, each and every single one of these, you can make into a cross. Actually, no, I'm not saying make it. It is a cross. And you choose either to pick it up or to say, no, thank you, to every one of these. Get up and go to church. No, thank you. Sleep in a little bit. It's not a big deal. You choose. What we usually do, kind of like I was talking about yesterday, is we want to do good things. Like we want to go to church, and we want to pray, and we want to read our Bible, but we just don't want to do it when it's inconvenient. Like we want to do it when it's convenient for us. Like we go to church when we get up. And we read our Bible when it happens to be open in front of me, okay? And we do spiritual things when it's convenient for us. But what I'm telling you is, the time that it's a cross is the time that it's not convenient. Put another way, my daily cross is choosing to obey what I know I should do when it's not easy. When it is easy, it's not a cross. Like there's times that you feel like, you know what? I want to read the Bible, I want to pray. That's great. That's fine. That's not cross. The cross is when, like I said, my feet hurt and I can't stand up to pray, but I get up to pray. The cross is where, you know what? I've had a busy week. I've had all this kind of stuff. I deserve to give myself a break. You know that. We all deserve a break. We want to give ourselves a break. I don't take a break spiritually. That's when the cross comes in. John chapter 14, verse 15 says very simple. If you love me, obey my commandments. He doesn't want us to climb mountains for him. He didn't want us to swim oceans for him. He didn't want us to build buildings for him. He wants us to obey his commandments when it's easy and when it's not easy. Our problem is that so often we don't see these little things as opportunities to carry our cross. You deal with your boss at work. Your boss gets on your case. You have a decision to make. Be patient or be impatient. It's easy to be patient when your boss is patient. That's not cross. But I'm saying he comes and he's on your case for no reason. Cross is in front of you. Suck it up. Suck up my pride and be patient. Or put down the cross for 1 minute. This is what I do. When I want to be bad, I take up my cross for 1 minute and then I be bad. Okay? So no one sees me with my cross. You pick it up or you put it down. It's your decision you got to make. Thing is, we don't like that image. We don't like things not easy. Like I said yesterday, we're creatures of comfort. We like the cross to be comfortable. The cross these days, unfortunately, has become like a jewelry thing. Like it's a fashion thing. You got rappers on the TV wearing big crosses. Remember one time I was in a store, like a Kinko's copier. A place you make copies and send stuff. So I was in there, and it's right outside this university, it's close by. So there's this young guy, and he's probably like 19 years old, and he was like, cool, cross, man. And I'm like, thank you. He's like, where'd you get it, man? I'm like, I got it in Egypt. He's like, cool, can you get me one? And I'm like, just ring up the price. Just. We like our cross to be clean. We like our cross to be nice with flowers around it. You know, the cross is not flowers around it. Cross equals death. Cross equals torture. Wearing a cross around our neck is the equivalent, the 21st century equivalent, of wearing an electric chair around our neck. Okay, well, that's what we in the Christian church did. We decided, like when they put on a cross and said, the symbol of our faith is the cross wasn't something nice and fluffy. The cross was a sign of torture. It was an electric chair. And they said, we are the church of the electric chair. And everyone wear electric chairs around your neck. And tattoo electric chairs on your wrist and stuff like that. Why? To remind ourselves that it's not about me and easy, that cross equals pain and cross equals difficult, but cross equals glory. And our life is about so much more than comfort. Our cross is not something that we choose and shop around for to select the one that fits nicely. Our cross is something that is given to us and we either accept it or reject it. So the real cross, like I said, is those daily decisions that I don't want to make. To retaliate or not to retaliate. To bite my tongue or to lash out with my tongue. Those are the real crosses. In fact, let's go back in time and look at Christ's cross. If you look at Christ on Good Friday, big cross he carried. But you can see that it was made up of so many little crosses and little decisions along the way. Started in the very early morning when he was, let's just start on Friday, you can forget about Thursday. He was on trial. Okay, and they asked him all these questions, which he's the only one who really knew the answers to, and they were making up lies about him. And he chose, swallowed his pride, and he didn't defend himself. They hit him, and every one of us would have been ready. And he would have been ready too. And he didn't even need to do this. But he said, carry my cross. And he put his arm down. They spit on it. Carried his cross. And believe me, carrying the cross down the road was easy compared to standing there, being fully innocent, and being spat upon. And being slapped around. And being ridiculed. But there's one thing that men especially, Middle Eastern men especially, public humiliation, can't take it. He took it. Don't tell me his cross was just carrying that big cross. You also are going to be faced with little crosses throughout your day. And you must choose what you're going to do with it. More specifically, more practically, why did he carry those little crosses? What was his like mission or goal in carrying the little crosses? Was to defeat sin, right? He carried the cross in order to defeat sin for us. So, we carry the same cross. Every struggle against sin is carrying the cross, because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. His whole life from day one, he carried his cross, and every single time he was faced with sin, he picked up his cross, and he made a decision not to go into sin, but to go with the cross instead. Every commandment in the Bible is a chance for you to carry your cross. The Bible has more than 6,000 commandments, things that it tells you, do this, don't do that. And every single one of them is a chance for you to walk that path of glory. To get closer to what eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Because each and every single one of those is a chance that you can carry your cross. And when the Bible tells you how to spend your money, when the Bible tells you how to treat your parents, when the Bible tells you how to dress in the morning when you go to church, when the Bible tells you what time to go to church, when the Bible tells you that how you should relate to the people who are outside the church or inside the church, every one of those, that's a command. That you can get closer and closer to where God has. So what I'm going to say to you today is forget the big cross. I don't want you to carry a big cross. I don't care if you ever carry a big cross. I want you to carry a little cross. And I want you to be committed to walking out these doors today, and whatever cross comes your way, if it's in the parking lot, if it's on the road, if it's at home, I want you to say, you know what? I'm going to carry my little cross. Let me ask you a question. Which is easier, the big cross or the little cross? Which is easier? The big cross or the little cross? 100%, without a shadow of a doubt, the big cross is much easier than the little cross. Much easier. And I can prove it to you. And Abuna will agree with me, and anyone who ever comes to church during Holy Week will agree with me. Why? Because we all do this. Not we all. I hope we don't all, but many of us do this. Kid at church, kid Annie here and there, and then Holy Week comes. Holy Week is very important. You know what? I haven't gone to church for months. Do something big for the Lord. Take a week off of work. I'm going to be at every Bescha. And every year, I'm there on Palm Sunday, and I see those guys. You know those guys. Okay? That guy who's not there in church all year, and he comes, and he's at every service. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, he's not going to be here next week. You know he's not going to be here. And every year, he's there. Every year, he's there. And he cries. He says the psalm. And he's folk tetigomi. He's everywhere. Okay? And he's everything. And he gives up the time. But then where is he next week? And the week after that? It's easy to take a week off of work and spend a week in church. Where's the sacrifice there? Sacrifice is go to work, leave work early, and come to church. Don't use your vacation days. Leave early. That's the real sacrifice. The sacrifice is not Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. The sacrifice is the Sunday after Easter. The most least crowded Sunday of the entire year in the church. That's when the sacrifice comes in. Every one of us, how many of us would love, don't give anything to God all year, never write a check, my money is my money, and then kiddah, something important happens, or we have a trial or a court case or a job or something like that, kiddah, big check, there you go to God. Hey, I'm a good man. I carried my big cross today. That's not giving God. That's tipping God is what that is. Or trying to bribe God. Carrying your cross, the little cross, is much more difficult. There's another religion, which I won't say what it is, okay? Middle Eastern religion. That's their view of it. Their view is, there's a limited time of the year, a month, where you fast all day long. Don't eat anything, really push yourself, and then when you finish that day of fasting, what do? You pig out, man. Like, you go crazy on the food. That's not Christianity. Christianity says, no. Is that every week, every Wednesday, and every Friday, I'm not saying don't eat all the day, but I'm saying I'm going to make you carry a little cross. I'm not saying don't eat, but I'm saying eat this, don't eat that. No, okay, big cross. Forget all the Wednesday, Fridays. I'm going to just like take like a week, and I'm going to fast and not eat anything. That's the big cross. That's not the real cross. The real cross is the little ones. Think about it. If you are a young lady who wants to be married one day, or who will be married one day, or whatever, in marriage, which, if you're a wife, which do you like better? The husband who comes every year on Valentine's Day with a box of chocolates like this, and like a big card, and like writes something in the sky, and like on halftime of the football game, does something like all that kind of stuff, and then treats you like dirt and ignores you every other Sunday of the year? Or you want the one that every Sunday is giving you love? Real love is not in big things. Real love is in little things. And if you really love God, you learn to give God little things throughout the day. It's the little I love yous that mean a lot more than the big, flashy, showy stuff. So make no mistake about it. The little cross is much more difficult. And if you really love the Lord, you commit yourself to the little cross and not just waiting for that big one to come. What I would say to you, the solution to this problem here, is don't focus on carrying your cross every day. Focus on carrying it this day. As soon as I say the little cross, and it is more difficult, we all agree it's more difficult, some of you would sit there and say, well, I can't do that. How am I going to do that every single day? Don't do it every day. Don't carry your cross every day. Just carry it today. Because you know what? There's 2 days that God doesn't care about. Tomorrow and yesterday. He doesn't care about those 2 days. So don't say, how am I going to be nice to this guy every day for the rest of my life? Don't be nice to him every day for the rest of your life. Just be nice to him today. How am I going to stop this going, hanging out with these guys every single day? I can't. Don't do it. Just do it today. Just do it today. You don't know if you're going to be around tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. Just do it today. Walk out of here with a mindset of just carry your cross today. And then let tomorrow worry about itself. That's what Christ said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Take it one day at a time. I'm not telling you to be pure for the rest of your life. I'm telling you to be pure right now. I'm telling you that when you're watching TV today and that commercial comes on that has that kind of stuff on, be pure at that moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about this weekend. Be pure at that moment. I'm telling you that when that person says that annoying comment, you're ready to lash back. Don't hold your tongue for the rest of your life. Just hold it for the next 5 minutes. That's it. That's it. Just focus on the little cross right here, right now. I'm not telling you to change the way you think forever. But I'm telling you, for the next hour, 2 hours, for the rest of this day, try only to think good thoughts. Try to memorize this verse. It's not hard. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, worry about its own things. Don't worry about the second half. You can memorize that. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, worry about its own things. Matthew 6:34. Just for today, when you get a bad thought, a stressful thought, an anxiety kind of thought, say this verse. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, worry about its own things. Just today. And what happens tomorrow? What if we live till tomorrow? We'll figure out what we're going to do tomorrow. Our problem is, when you look at tomorrow, you get overwhelmed by the bigness of the cross. And you get paralyzed by a feeling of, I can't do that every single day. You know who would love to make you feel that way is the devil. I can't tell you how many people, and many of you have probably done it over the past 24, 48 hours, come to me and say, Abuna, everything in my life is ruined. Okay, what's wrong? Everything is ruined. Okay, what's wrong? Just, it's too much. I can't talk. Everything. What's wrong, Habib? Like, what's wrong? Okay, well, this thing in school and this thing at home and this. Okay, what does school do? No, relax. Not everything is ruined. Everything is fine. You have a minor problem here. You have a minor thing that needs adjustment here. That's something there. Relax. Okay, keep it separate. Why you add stuff on top of stuff? Okay, keep it separate. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't mash everything together. Let's take it one step at a time and deal with one issue at a time and carry one cross at a time. Don't carry a big cross. Just walk out of here and the first cross you see, carry that one. And then when you see another one, carry that one. That's it. Take it in bite-sized chunks. Because that's the way life is lived anyway. Like, even if you wanted to plan all your crosses for the next week or 2 weeks, you don't live life in 2 weeks at a time. You live life in one moment at a time. So it's pointless to say, well, how am I going to do this, and that? Even if you have a strategy, you're not going to get there for a while. So you're wasting your time and mental capacity in thinking about it, and you're just getting yourself flustered. Focus on the cross one day at a time. Just today. The other reason that's important, remember how I said earlier that the mind of Christ is like the GPS. What happens when you look at the bigness, the instructions, like God gives us grace to fight those battles, He gives us strength to carry our cross, but He doesn't give me strength today to carry the next 10 years of crosses. He gives me strength right now just for this one. Like He only gives me one turn at a time. So if I'm sitting here thinking, how am I going to get all the way over there? And the only thing God's telling me is turn left. Like, it's not going to work, God. And where are you, God? And God, you're... Relax. Turn left. Then He'll give you this. God gives you strength for one cross at a time. So don't make it bigger than it really is. If you look in the Old Testament, whenever God gave the people food to eat and water to drink, He never gave them in advance, only gave them what they needed for that day. And we pray that. He does that because that's what we ask Him to do when we say, give us this day our daily bread. So don't look at tomorrow, just look at today. Yesterday I gave you an example of the two thieves, and I showed you how, because they responded differently to the same cross, they ended up one in heaven, one in hell. Today I want to tell you about two different guys who were in a similar situation as those two guys, in that they both faced the exact same cross, slightly different scenarios. Okay, one of them looked only at his immediate cross in front of him, and because of that, he was able to carry it and overcome. The other guy saw the bigness of the cross, and he was looking ahead, and saw, how am I going to do all these big crosses and stuff like that? Because of that, he got desperate, and he ended up going the wrong direction. Our story today is about Pilate and Peter. Let's start with Pilate, our good friend Pontius Pilate, who doesn't seem like he did anything. Like, Pontius Pilate will go down in history as one of the worst people in the world, because he's mentioned in the Creed and he's mentioned in the Confession of the Church. Who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Like, it's not enough for us to say that Christ witnessed a good confession. It's important for us to say it's in front of Pontius Pilate. So basically the church is condemning Pontius Pilate. Why? Let's go back in time a little bit. And again, we don't know all the details, But Annie, indulge me here. Pontius Pilate was the ruler of the area that Christ lived in. He was the governor. He was the Roman guy who was in charge of the area. He met Christ on the day that he eventually would die, and he was brought to him as a criminal. You all have seen the movie Passion of the Christ, so this isn't anything too difficult for you. He interviewed the guy, asked him what he did wrong, asked the Jews what he did wrong, and his conclusion after interviewing was, he did absolutely nothing wrong. Why did he conclude that? Because Christ did absolutely nothing wrong. Okay? So he came to the right conclusion. Pilate was a smart guy. You don't get to the position he was in by being an idiot. He was an intelligent guy, a successful guy, got to that position, and he said, you know what? This guy's innocent. This guy deserves to be let go. But Pilate was a diplomat. Okay? Pilate knew his constituents very well. He said, you know what? If I let him go, these guys are going to uproar against me. There's going to be problems. So what he wanted to do is, let's just kind of keep the peace. Okay? I don't want to make waves. So therefore, Pilate did something that so many of us do when faced with our cross, when we don't want to make waves. Don't be so strict. Don't be so strict with Christianity and things like that. Be easy. So what Pilate did is, he made compromise. Hey, I'm not saying he's worthy of death, but by the same token, I can't let him go because of all the people and stuff like that. Let's compromise. Let's find something in the middle. So what he said is, let's see if we can make this work out. So he brought Christ down to the people. He said, look here. Let's discuss. Okay? Let's see if we can come to a solution where both sides are comfortable. Does this sound familiar? We do this all the time with Christianity. Let's see if we can figure out a way that, you know, we're both in the church and out of the church. It's like, let's find a way that we're obeying the laws of the church, but kiddo, we're still keeping our own life. Let's find a way we can compromise and make the two to kind of work together. So he came up with a compromise. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, you have brought me this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, I, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. Everything he said so far, I agree with. Good job, Pilate. You're the man. But here's the compromise. I will therefore chastise him and release him. What? You said he's innocent. You said he did nothing wrong. So why are you going to chastise him? Chastise him meaning whip him. Guess when Christ got whipped. Why did he say that? That doesn't make sense. He's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent. Therefore, I will chastise him and then release him. You know what that is? We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You're our King, Lord. You're our God. I'm going to do this little bad thing, and then I'll be back next Sunday. Compromise. So he did it. Christ got whipped. And make no mistake about it. One whip was one whip too many. They let him get whipped 41 times. You've seen the movie. You saw how gruesome it was. I compromised. Everything should be happy now. No waves. He brought Christ back. What happened? The people weren't satisfied. They said, no, we want him crucified. We don't accept that. You know why? Because the world never accepts compromise. The world never accepts it. The devil will never be happy with you even one foot in, one foot out. The devil will keep on drawing you closer and closer. And if you're willing to compromise the first time, it's not going to be a matter of time. It's not going to be long before you compromise the second time. And that's exactly what Pilate did. Verse 20. Pilate, therefore, listen to this. Listen how the Bible condemns him. Wishing to release Jesus. He knew he was innocent, and he wanted to release him, and his wife was telling him to release him, and he knew this is a holy man, and the visions, and this is a saintly man. But he couldn't. Again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? Don't you like kind of feel for Pilate? Like he's really trying his best. He wants to let this guy go. I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voice that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. Did Pilate know what he should do? Absolutely. Why didn't he do it? Why didn't Pilate do it? Pilate saw tomorrow. And he didn't want it. He couldn't imagine facing tomorrow. Pilate actually, up until this last sentence here, wasn't doing that bad. He was standing up to the Jews. And he's saying, he's an innocent man. But then he thought about it. If I let him go today, what if they fight against me tomorrow? What am I going to do tomorrow? And what if the next day they complain to my boss? What about the following day? How am I going to face it when they try to come and assassinate me? You know what? This decision is a lot bigger than I realized. This is a big cross. I don't know if I can carry that big a cross. I don't know if I can carry it out over the... I don't know. That seems a lot bigger than I thought it was. So what Pilate did, in a cowardly fashion, he gave in to them. He executed Christ. And then he had the audacity to say, "Wash my hands, it's on you." No, Mr. Pilate, it's not on them. It's on you, buddy. And for all of history, every time a Coptic liturgy is prayed, you will be remembered as the coward. As the coward who couldn't stand up for what you knew was right. The Jews at least didn't know what was right. You can argue that. Pilate knew what was right, and he was too cowardly to stand up for what he knew was right. Why? Because he was thinking to tomorrow. My job. What's going to happen to my job tomorrow? What's going to happen to my house and my kingdom and my job security and my neck and all this kind of stuff? I don't know if I can face all that, Lord. And he caved. Pilate needed to see one thing. What was right in front of him. And if he had just kept his eyes on what was right in front of him, he would have escaped eternal damnation. But because he didn't, he ended up in trouble. That's different than Peter. Peter, in the exact same like time period on that day, or the day before, was like Pilate in that he was faced with a situation where he had to make a decision. Peter loved Christ dearly, and he was one of his devout disciples. But also like Pilate, he got scared to be too associated with Christ. Okay, because he didn't know where it was going to take him. And he was hoping he could find like a middle ground, so to speak. Luke 22, verse 54 tells us that when Christ was arrested, having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed him at a distance. What do you notice here about Peter? Did he follow Christ? Yes. But how did he follow him? At a distance. Peter said, "I know this man is the Messiah. And I know that he's the right one. So I'm going to be right back here in case he needs me." And he followed him at a distance because he didn't want to get too close. He didn't know what would happen if he got too close and people would accuse him this and that. So he stayed at a distance. Next verse. "Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You also are of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed." Peter denied Christ. He swore. He cursed. He did everything that you shouldn't do. Everything that is really, 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 really bad. But like Pilate, he soon had a chance to fix it. Pilate made a mistake by whipping him, but he had a chance to fix it afterwards. Same thing with St. Peter. And St. Peter fixed it. The very next verse, or two verses later, says, "So Peter went out and wept bitterly." Peter fixed his mistake while Pilate didn't. And let me ask you a question. And I want you to think about this one. Was it easier for Peter to make the right choice than Pilate? Because it seemed like Peter made the wrong choice, realized it right away, and then made the right choice. Whereas Pilate made the wrong choice, realized it, but still couldn't make the right choice. Did Peter have an advantage over Pilate? Was it easier for him? The answer is yes. Why? Why was it easier for Peter to see the cross in front of him and say, "You know what? I made a mistake. I need to repent for this mistake. I shouldn't have done this. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be a devout disciple of him." Why was it easier for Peter to make that decision to pick up the cross right there than it was for Pilate? Simple. Because Peter literally literally was in the daily habit of following Christ and picking up his cross daily. For Pilate, it was a new thing to him. But Peter, when faced with a big cross, he had been carrying that little cross for so many days, and it had become a daily habit for him to follow Christ, that when the big one, the life or death one, came and approached him and presented itself to him, he was already in the habit of making the right decision. The truth of the matter is, you will never be able to handle the pressure of the big cross until you learn how to carry the little cross. Michael Jordan can hit that shot with no time on the buzzer. Why? He can do it in front of the whole wide world on national television. Why? Because he's done it a million times in a gym when no one's looking. Anyone who's successful in the public light, the doctor who does the great surgery when he's under pressure, why? Because he's practiced it a million times on the dummy doll or on whatever it was when there was no one looking. And it's the same thing. You want to shine when the spotlight's on you, when a big cross presents itself, and you have a chance to either be a Pilate or either be a Peter. You want to be able to do that? Trust me, start practicing from now. Walk out this room and say, I choose to carry my daily cross. Every little decision that I look at is a chance to either carry a cross or put down a cross. To be a Pilate or to be a Peter. Last verse, Luke chapter 16, verse 10 and 11. Famous verse. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust in true riches? This is a principle that applies to all of life. If you're not faithful with a dollar, don't be surprised when they don't give you 10. God gives us little crosses all throughout our day. Every single day. And I promise you, the fact that you, if you're paying attention and you want to start carrying little crosses, I promise you, now that your eyes are opened, you're going to see 100 of them waiting for you right outside these doors. You're going to see hundreds of little crosses. And if you're faithful in carrying the little crosses, you'll one day get the big cross. And we want the big cross. Why? Because like we said, it's the cross that leads to the glory. Okay? And the little crosses are what lead to bigger crosses, which is lead to big cross, which is what leads to big glory. I hope that you can take, if I had to summarize the mind of Christ in a nutshell, I would say it's the cross. Because Christ's whole existence was to carry the cross. Every single day, every single interaction he had, every single everything of Christ was to carry his cross. And because he did that, it led him to the greatest glory. If I ask God, God, tell me, why did you bring me, Abuna Anthony, here to this retreat this weekend? To meet a girl? To meet a boy? To eat good food? To play basketball? Why did you bring me here? He would say one thing, to give you what eye has not seen, an ear has not heard, and have come upon the heart of man, what God has prepared for me, Abuna Anthony. And he says the same thing for each one of you. And the path to get there on God's mind is the glory that's waiting for you, and on his mind is the way to get it, which is the cross. The trials, like I said, the service opportunities, the interactions, the daily decisions. And I hope that we can all be committed to carrying them. Glory be to God forever. Amen.